want to get high, man?
That stimulates your mind.
Get up, Chucky!
What have we got here? A fucking comedian.
You mean Rogan Kim?
Hello, and welcome to the Rogan Kim Cast. It's me, Rogan Kim. Thank you so much for joining me today. As I record this, it's January 5th, 2021. This is episode 221. Isn't that interesting? Wow. That's only, I mean, last time it was 220, and this is 221. That's how numbers work. Isn't that a coincidence? Yes, it is actually a coincidence. I mean, I suppose numbers can have mystical meanings, right? Because, I mean, everything has meaning if you assign it meaning, right? It's like astrology, just like looking at the skies, just like interpreting tea leaves, just like interpreting the market. You know, all these people draw all these crazy graphs and lines and stuff like that. But I just think that's like astrology for dudes. Yeah, that's basically what that is. Anyways, how are you? I'm doing okay. It's the day before the this is going to be a big rally in Washington. Congress is supposed to certify. This is supposed to be the date when we finally know who's president. How long is this going to just get dragged on for? Jesus Christ. Can you just fucking... I wish the guy would just step down and start a podcast, okay? I wish Trump would just start a podcast because that's what he deserves. That's what... Can you imagine? And when I say deserves, I don't mean like in a bad way. I think he would stand to gain a lot from just having a podcast that's talk shit about the government. I talk shit about everybody, and that's it. Anyways, have me on. Okay. We don't know what's going to happen. Everything's kind of uncertain, but at the same time, perhaps not. I mean, it's more of the same, right? I mean, it's going to be a little bout of uncertainty, but it seems like more of the same. And by more of the same, what do I mean? I mean, the trend toward perpetual warfare, the trend toward neo-feudalism, where the wealth disparity becomes so great that it resembles that of the time of serfs and barons and vassals and fiefs and all that stuff, you know, warlords perhaps. I mean, a time of decentralization, whether good or bad, a time of conflict between the central forces, the forces centralizing, such as the Federal Reserve, the central banks of all around the world, governments like China, right? Centralized authority, governments like the U.S. Just it's all forms of centralized authority, the U.S. dollar, right? Things that are sort of, I guess, through most of our lives have been central and necessary, maybe splintering, fragmenting, you know, it's very possible. The technology allows that to be possible. Sure. Also, there's very little faith now in institutions, I think, especially with how everything's being handled economically with the pandemic. Economically, since the Great Crash, right? The pandemic also not really the... It's not a sign of competence, I tell you that. I don't know. Here's a question I keep asking myself is like, are these people evil or are they retarded? Right? What is it? Evil... or retarded? Evil or retarded? All right. I don't know. Both? Retarded, evil people? Maybe that's just what they are. They're so evil, they're retarded. Maybe there's a few of them that are like super evil. Most of them are retarded. It's very hard to tell. You know? It's just very... I'm just like, I don't know. They're just very cleverly disguising themselves as retarded people, or they're retarded people who are just plain old meanies, just meanie retards. Is that what this is? Is that what rich, mean retards? Is that what's... Maybe. I mean, maybe that's the best we got. That's the best we got after, whatever, 5,000 years of civilization, quote unquote, 10,000 years since agriculture started. So let's give it 10. I'll say 10. Let's say civilization started 10,000 ish years ago. That's how much time we've had. And in that time, what have we done? Well, we've we got this whole kind of like global system using money. We managed to get everybody to agree what money is and agree on a certain type of money, and kind of had this whole global system of trade. Very hard to do, right? People traveling all over the world. People also can send information anywhere at the speed of light. We figured out the speed of light, figured out how to make nuclear weapons going at the speed of light, right? We figured out fiber optics going at the speed of light. We figured out that stuff, right? But there's still more, of course. Still more challenges. We don't have clean water, you know, in Flint, right? And that's just kind of, at this point, just a meme. No clean water in Flint, you know, like you should leave Flint, right? And this, of course, goes in line with the decentralization thing I've been talking about and just the collapse of centralized authority, perhaps, or perhaps they'll go down fighting or go up fighting. I don't know. Go down or go up. I have no idea. Centralized authority. I just feel like you got a lot of power and you're the power. You're part of the powers that be. You're not going to go down without a fight. You're not going to just give that up, are you? I don't know. It seems unlikely. It's possible. I mean, we may become... what if we could peacefully dismantle all the stuff we've built? Seems unlikely, given our track record, given how enlightened we are as a species, just as people, right? Like, because look, if it's been 10,000 years, okay? If it's been 10,000 years, how far along are we in terms of just... thought, right? Like, can we get along with each other? Are we still murdering each other over things like skin color or religion or language or whatever the fuck? You know what I mean? Are we still tribal? Are we still just as tribal as we were back then? Yeah. How about greed? Have we gotten over that? We still, everything is sort of material, in fact. Material, even though back then, how far am I going to go back here? I don't know. Let's say to me, there seems to be a magical time in human history, at least the record we have, because it could go, I mean, we don't have any records past 5,000 years, so who knows? But, so Socrates, right? That was about 2,300 years ago, 2,300 years ago, something like that. It's like 300 BC-ish. I don't know. You Google it. I'm not going to Google it, but Socrates, around the same time, you had the old Lao Tzu, the Chuang Chu and the Ching Chong. Okay. No, Ching Chong. I made that last one up. Okay. But you have, you just have philosophy going on around the world, around the major civilizations of the world, where they come to some thoughts, some ideas about thinking and, knowledge in particular, right? That we still are grappling with today. Lao Tzu is like the yin-yang, right? There's a dark and light, and there's dark in the light, and light in the dark, and it's all going around, and that's what it is. Everything is everything, same but different. Contradictions. Lines, right? The fucking two sides of the brain. You know, we're still grappling with that. We still got that going on. And then Chuang Tzu was the guy who said, like, am I dreaming that I'm a butterfly? Or... am I a butterfly dreaming that I'm me, right? It's just the nature of reality. It's the nature of, I mean, from here, you can get things like simulation theory. You can understand, you know, things like simulation theory. You can understand the idea, like Descartes basically was wondering, like, you know, he sat in a dark room and was basically like, what's going on here? I could be, one of the things he thought was, I could be being tricked by a demon. It could all be an illusion. Right? Could all be a dream. Am I the butterfly in the dream? It's also related in some way, in a lot of ways, to Plato's cave, right? The idea of reality, the real reality versus the other reality, and which, and the nature of it, and why that's even important. Why is that even important? Why is that even important? So then you get Socrates saying, you know, the wisest man. Well, he went to the oracle, and the oracle said that he was the wisest man. The oracle, by the way, was just some crazy broad who had vapors, like volcanic. This bitch was fucking inhaling volcanic vapors, okay? And then just fucking prophesizing. And people, like, just moved history. Anyways, she said, Socrates, you're the wisest man in Athens. And he was like, okay, well, I don't know anything. So maybe she says I'm being wise. This is how he rationalized it. She's saying I'm wise because I admit that I know nothing. And perhaps that's the most we can get at. Right. And in some ways that echoes through all these other philosophical inquiries, right? Where it's like, you don't know if you're the butterfly or the Chinaman. You don't know. You don't know if you're in a, you're a Frenchman being dreamed up by a demon. You don't know, right? You don't know if you're black or white or both. You don't know, I guess, until you do a 23andMe. And then at that point, do you know anything? And this is something my cousin Han, benefactor to the Rose and Kim cast, says a lot. He says, I know that I don't know, right? And Socrates himself said, I know that I don't know. Which is interesting about Socrates is he said that he knows that he doesn't know, yet at the same time, he died because he wouldn't back down, right? He wouldn't back down from what he was saying. Socrates died because he was being accused of blaspheming the gods, because he was telling the kids he should question the gods, question everything. And they were like, that's blasphemous. We're going to murder you unless you recant and say that the gods are cool. Like, you can't fuck with the gods. Yeah, you got to recant that. And Socrates was like, no, I would rather die. Even though he himself said he doesn't really know. I mean, he could have been wrong for all he knows. But I guess what he was defending was the right to question it. Right? He said, this is worth dying over. So some things he did know. He knew that. I mean, that's pretty solid. If he didn't know that, it's kind of a big gamble. You know, he's gambling his life on whether or not, I mean, he could have ended up in Hades and Zeus torturing him, being like, you know, but doesn't seem like it, right? Doesn't seem like it. I mean, is Zeus, maybe, do we say that Zeus is real? They were right. It doesn't seem like they were right. He seemed to be right about something. So we can say to ourselves, we don't really know anything, but we can't stop there. I mean, obviously, clearly we haven't gone anywhere from that, because even though we've all admitted, okay, we don't know, we've come up with a scientific method, we've come up with ways to get an approximation of knowing, you know, get as close as we can. And what have we done with that? People are dying less and less. We got the medicine, we got electronics, we got all the aforementioned technological advancements, right? Those are fine. Those are awesome, right? So glad we got those. But we don't stop there, do we? We keep going, right? Technology in and of itself is, you know, Joe Rogan likes to say that it's like we're like a chrysalis for a machine being. Maybe. I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know personally. Maybe what if we're actually a chrysalis for a spiritual being? You know, what if we're actually, it's beyond material. Perhaps we are stuck in a conundrum as a species because we haven't moved beyond the material plane, and we've mastered it in every which way. We've got all this technology. We've got abundant food. We're fixing problems that we had just being animals out in the wild. We built the shelter. We got the indoor plumbing. We got the fucking central air. Right? We got mass production. We got food just being shipped every which way, especially if you're in a first world country, right? And especially, you know, if you're in America, where consumption is the way this country stays afloat, right? You got to consume. There's stuff. And that's just the way it is. And it's great to be the Romans. It's great to be the king. It's great to be on top. But here we are up here doing this. But then what? Is that it? We just consume stuff and then we die, and then that's all there is. I mean, that, you know, I think that there will be a propensity for human beings to resist that. I think that's what we're seeing now with certain people, perhaps with those mysterious bombings that occurred that, you know, nobody's really talking about. I don't know. Perhaps with the fact that over almost a year now, we've been locked up, cooped up, people have lost their livelihoods, people have been made to be afraid of each other, made to be afraid of everything. On either side of whatever you believe in, narratively, like in terms of politics, like it's either you think that there's a fascist, white supremacist secret takeover of the entire country, or there's a communist takeover allied with the Chinese of the entire country to make us all part of one world government. One or the other, or it could be both, or it could be all of them. We don't know. Nobody knows. We don't know. Again, we can say that we don't know. But at some point, we have to draw the line, just like Socrates did. Socrates felt that it was worth dying for to not back down on saying, we got to question everything, right? And perhaps, and that there perhaps is the root of what the Western concept of freedom comes from, you know, freedom and liberty, the freedom to choose. He chose death, right? That's because what was the alternative? The alternative was to bend the knee. The alternative was to bend the knee and say, no, you're right. I'm a bitch. Zeus is great. You guys are awesome. You guys are right too. I'm sorry for, you know, and he has to apologize to all the kids that he told to question everything. He's like, sorry, kids, don't question anything. You know, what a fucking bitch he would be. He'd be like a regular Bernie Sanders, okay? Like, what a bitch Socrates would have been if he did that, right? What a fucking bitch. Okay. I mean, human history could be completely different. For all we know, I don't know. I mean, it could have been just some other guy, you know, Locrates or something. Maybe some other guy would just fill his shoes and do the same thing. Maybe at some point somebody would have done something against these crazy Athenians who are pushing their Zeus on us. Okay, get it. I get it. Zeus is great, but we gotta fucking start using reason, right? Reason brought us to this point of science, brought us to the point of where we can not die from having a scratch or infection. We don't have to starve to death. We don't have parasites all the time. We have podcasts and roofs over our head. You know, these things are all born out of that reason. Now, I feel like what we can't reason ourselves out of is the spiritual conundrum. And what about it? I mean, why do we have one? Why is there one? We don't know. However, just like with Socrates, I feel like, you know, a stand has to be taken. Stand has to be taken. And what the fuck am I saying? I mean, a stand has to be taken perhaps on spiritualism, if you are so inclined, belief, just in the emptiness of existence. There's an emptiness in it, right? We all know, and we're trying to fill that hole. Everybody fills that hole with something, and it's either, it could be stuff, it could be money, it could be God, right? It could be a person. Could be whatever, could be yourself, whatever. So it's this constant, and perhaps the whole just comes out of the fact that we are birthed from nothingness to become conscious of our own death and to ultimately die. Like that we are conscious of our death, and that creates, you know, I think that's like the existentialist view and kind of the Buddhist view. Like we are the sum of who we are, and that's it. That's all we can do. We can't fucking help the cosmos. We can't help, you know, if it's Yahweh or Zeus or whoever it is that's mad at us for jerking off that time. It's like, you can't do anything about that. Okay? I can't stop jerking off Yahweh. So I can't worry about this my whole life. All right? So you just, the meaning that we give to everything, you know, it just comes from us. That's the best we got. But at the same time, we must give meaning to things. Or else what, who gives a fuck? Let's just set it all on fire. Why even be here? Right? Let's just all die. Right? There's some reason to survive. Something in, you know, just cause. Maybe just for the sake of it. We have no idea. Definitely not for stuff, you know? Definitely not for just stuff. I don't know. It makes sense. Stuff's cool. Stuff is awesome. And you're like, ooh, this stuff's cool, like toys and, I don't know, cars, guns. Guns are cool. I wish I had more guns. I wish I could have a whole armory. I wish I could just hit a button and these panels go to the side and then they're all strapped on the wall, you know, and I can just like pick up a gun and shoot it. But at the same time, I don't want all this stuff. I have to carry all, I have to have a gun box when I move, you know, it's gonna just a fucking pain in the ass, you know, stuff is a pain in the ass. So then now here we are, Great Reset. Here we are at the Great Reset, where we'll all own nothing and be so happy. Is that possibly true? Is it true that our technological overlords will allow us to feel free from the shackles of materialism because they'll own everything? She's like, here, let's fix that. We'll fix everything. We'll own everything and you'll be happy, right? As opposed to a spiritual movement where we reject materialism Instead, let's just go all in on materialism and let them own it. They'll figure, there's kind of like a, you be kids, we'll be mommy and daddy, you know, we'll provide you the toys. You just be kids, you don't own it, you break the toy, whatever, we'll give you a new one. You don't have to worry about it. I mean, that, in a way, it's genius, right? In a way, it's, if it was real, if it was real, maybe it was true in this sort of Brave New World way where we all got everything just sort of satisfied and, you know, like the state just kind of gives us everything and they don't even need to hide stuff. They just fucking have it out there, but nobody cares because everybody's so high. Everybody's so high and fucking just fucking all the time, you know, like it's just, we don't give a fuck about what you, the Chinese have infiltrated the whole government. We don't care. Are the drugs going to be cheaper? That's what we care about. That's all that matters. Can we fuck longer on this Chinese Viagra? It's liquid. It comes on faster. They figured out a way to make it last longer without killing you. Thank you. That's it. That's all we need. We're good. Right? I don't know. I mean, I think history is bound to rhyme. That's what they say, right? It doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. So I think we're coming into a point in history where we haven't had an all-out war in quite some time. I mean, we've had perpetual war. So we've been sort of having lots of tiny little conflicts. Will that erupt into a giant one? We have no idea. We've also had nuclear weapons for, you know, since we let them go in 45, right? And we haven't really had a nuclear war. We know the consequences of that is that it's all over. And at which point it doesn't matter, like stuff doesn't, well, if there's a nuclear war, like how much money, you know, money's not going to matter. I don't even know what'll matter at that point. It just depends how long we have. I mean, if it's really, as they say, and we have permanent winter and most of us die, you know, most of us would just die. Starvation would come. It's not going to be pretty. And at that point, you know, hey, do you believe in magic? Do you believe in the eternal soul? Do you believe that, you know, committing suicide damns you to hell? Do you believe? I don't know. It depends on your personal beliefs at that point and what exit point you think. Or are you going to just go all in, become a cannibal? There's nothing in the Bible about cannibalism. None of the commandments has anything about, nothing about cannibalism in the Bible. Huh? Nothing about cannibalism. Cannibalism is a viable Christian way of living in the post-apocalypse. Okay, you could do that because I think, you know, Jesus said eat of my body. Jesus fucking endorsed it. He was all for it. He clearly, the path for Christians, he was laying out the path, you know, when he was telling you to eat of my body, drink of my blood. He's basically telling you in the post-apocalypse, look, if I don't show up, just start eating people until I do. Okay, that's the best thing you can do as a Christian surviving after some nuclear, most likely nuclear catastrophe. Just start eating people and just keep that up. Survive, be fruitful, multiply, have little mutant babies, but and eat the ones that don't make it or whatever you system you devise, and make sure you survive. And then I'll be there. I'll be there. I swear to God. Okay. They swear to me, I guess. That's. I wonder if he ever said that. Jesus was like, I swear to me. I would, but that's why I wouldn't be Jesus. Okay. So anyways, we know we don't know. Where do we go from there? I don't know. I mean, so in terms of history rhyming, I was thinking, okay, here's something crazy that I was tripping on. We are still in the 21st century dealing with the consequences of the 20th century. And the 20th century is really kind of coming out of the 19th century philosophical thoughts of a bunch of Germans. Like, that's really what we're still dealing with, like Marx. We're still dealing with Nietzsche. We're still dealing with a place called the Frankfurt School, which is where critical race theory comes out of. We're still dealing with all these fucking German, just German thoughts, right? So we have, you know, these fucking philosophers. The last time I feel like philosophers really influenced us as people, you got your Marx, you got your Nietzsche, you know, and people, I guess, ended up taking Nietzsche's writing and using that as a justification for fascism and the Nazism, right? We're still dealing with secret Nazis, right? We're still dealing with commies. We're still dealing, and then, of course, we are still dealing with the commies who have infiltrated the schools, everything, media with their woke stuff, right? And that's critical race theory. That's the Frankfurt School. Basically, I guess a bunch of German guys were just like, hey, what if nothing was anything? What if 2 + 2 = 5, right? What if nothing is really, it's just sort of breaking down formal thinking and saying that it's all power-based and that any sort of, like, say, for instance, math. Math is a construct put on by the people in power. So in our case, in America, it'd be like white men have created white supremacy. It's a tool of white supremacy. Everything is a tool of white supremacy because it's all about power. So anything that makes anything advance and make sense is all a tool of white supremacy. You know, it's just kind of a, you know, it's in line. It's kind of like that we know that we don't know to its logical conclusion, to its kind of like most pathetic logical conclusion, where it's just like, well, what it's all, you could just basically be like, whoever is stronger is not stronger, you know, shouldn't be stronger. So we should take away that person's ability to be stronger so that we don't feel assaulted, right? Like just the idea that everything is about power, everything is about power dynamics, everything is about the scars of history, of the power dynamics of the past. So everything affects everything now. Nothing ever changes. No, it doesn't make any sense. But at the same time, let's break down all the structures, break them all down, break down everything that makes sense, break down the buildings, burn it all down, and then what? There's no real solution. There's nothing offered after that. It's just that everything must be broken down because the structure is corrupt. It's racist. It's patriarchal. It's this or that. It's so corrupt that it has to be broken down. And I don't know. I mean, maybe that's true, but not. I feel like the energies of where it's being directed are being shaped by the dominant corporate and government forces of this country. That doesn't really seem like a revolutionary movement, you know what I mean? When major corporations are behind it, when the government is behind it, doesn't seem to me like it's really going to dismantle and break down anything. If anything, it just seems like a co-opting of sort of a bunch of words that people like, you know, like sensitivity training, things like that. People like that, you know, and why not? Because people are saying, let's not be racist anymore. And that's not like, that's not a bad thing. But at the same time, we are all racist. And let's just, it's fine. It's okay. All right. We are and we're not. All right. Just like the yin yang. Okay. You got your white, you got your black, you got your swirl. Okay. Meanwhile, Asians invented the goddamn thing. Where are we in the yin yang? Could you add a little yellow in there, huh? Could you, would it kill you to put a little yellow in the yin yang? All right. Okay. Anyways, fucking Germans, right? Norm MacDonald has a joke about Germany about how, like, you know, they're crazy. Yeah, Germany, they took on the whole world, you know, twice. And it was close. Like, that. That's good. And it's true. They did. That's how. So the thing about Germany is that it used to be Germania, right? Back in the ancient times, it was Germania. It was just a backwater, barbarian nation of just tribesmen that the Romans conquered. They didn't have no alphabet. They probably barely even spoke to each other or could speak to each other. They were united by the Roman tongue, by Latin, and then eventually which turned into German where they were. And then they had the German letters, which were basically Roman letters, right? Like the, so this immense transition or transmission of culture. You got your transmission of culture, transmission of information, transmission of numbers, numerology, whatever. You got all this stuff being given to the Germans, right? Of course, the numbers came through the Arabs, and so Arabic numerals also allowed for great advancements in math and science. The Arabs at that time were the prime translators of the ancient Greek and Roman scripts or whatever, scrolls. And so that allowed Europeans to gain access to that information, right? And now look at us. Look at us now. What happened to everybody? What happened to Arabs? Maybe the Mongols fucked them up so bad. Mongols fucked up the Arabs so bad they can't fucking, they're just fucking yokels, a bunch of like religious hicks now. That's basically what they want, to just blow themselves up now when they get, when you see a picture of Muhammad, right? These are people who invented algebra and fucking traveled the telescopes and shit. They invented numbers. They showed us how to use numbers. You understand? We used Roman numbers before that. We, as in the West, not me. I mean, I don't know. As a Korean, I guess I used an abacus. If I was lucky, if not, we probably had our own indigenous form of counting on our fingers, or who knows? Who knows? If you didn't have place value, you were fucked. Okay? Arabic numerals came, changed it for everybody. Arabic numerals are also called Hindu numerals in Arabia or whatever, the Arab world. They call them Hindu numbers because that's who they learned it from. Get it? Get it? It's all cultural appropriation. Everything is all appropriated. Therefore, there is no appropriation. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. That's my... that's what I... okay, so anyways, what's this all about? All right, so you got the Germans, right? The Germans have affected us to this day. Now we are in this dichotomy. Half the country, half the world believes fascists are on the rise. The other half believes the commies are on the rise. Maybe they're both right. We don't know. Will there be a war between the fascists and the communists again? Again? Yeah, but we had two world wars because of this shit. And now you're saying we're going to do it again. We'll do it again. We haven't. This time we have nukes. Great. That, you know, I don't know. Can we get, where are the philosophers that we're supposed to be influenced by? Why are we still using, it's like remix. It's like a reboot. You know, we don't have any new philosophies. We got to go with the old stuff. This is what makes us Roman, right? The Romans just jacked all of Greek mythology. They didn't have their own stories. They couldn't even make up their own. They basically literally took the entire pantheon and all the stories, just switched the names out. And they're like, yeah, that's our mythology. That's the basis of the foundation of the psychology of our culture is just a rip off of what the Greeks said. Whatever they said, we just switched out the name. You know, they had weird Greek names. Ew, gross. So we just put our cool Roman names in there that are way better. I mean, it's just, okay. And that's what we got. That's what we're doing right now, right? Commies versus Nazis. Okay? How fucking out of touch? I don't know. I mean, perhaps, look, both of them were a critique of the West, right? And the West beat the shit out of them. And now they're back. So clearly the West didn't listen. Maybe the West got too big for its britches. You know, needs something. I don't know. I mean, of course, there's also the rise of the East, the authoritarian East. Everybody's like, especially with the pandemic, they're like, look at how China crushed it. You know, look at the Asian countries. Look at what they did. Everybody just behaved. And it's like, you don't want that, guys. You don't want to be like Asia. That is not, I'm telling you, there's got to be prior immunity or something else that explains, okay, why are cases in South Korea and Japan higher than before? Why are they, do they all just stop behaving all at once at the same time? Does that make any sense? Did they coordinate with it? Did South Korea call Japan and go, hello, we're going to all stop wearing masks now, even though we're all supposed to, and you can see that everybody does, but we're not gonna. They're like, okay, and then the curve of the cases falls or rises at the same time. I mean, you know, perhaps there's prior immunity, seasonality. Perhaps it's like cold. Perhaps it's a circulating virus like the flu. Who knows? I'm not saying anything one way or the other. I'm just saying if all these things worked, if we knew for a fact, wouldn't we be seeing the opposite? Wouldn't we be seeing cases be crushed, away, gone? Of course not. You know why? Because the virus is out and it's rampant and it's just out. You can't isolate. You can isolate an island and I guess stop. But as soon as it starts travel again, someone's going to have it and it's fine. That's the way it all works. Okay. So anyways, back to the Nazis and the commies. Nazis and the commies. That's what we got. I think it all comes down to a questioning of what we take for granted, right? Questioning Things like the United States government, things like the U.S. dollar, things like the global financial system, things that were just like, this is just how it's going to be. There's no way this is going to change. They're not going to change this stuff. This is not going to go away. But it could in our lifetimes. I mean, look, people thought that about the Roman Empire. People thought that about the fucking British Empire. People thought that in the middle of the Nazis Reich. They thought about that too. They thought the Third Reich was going to be 1,000 years. 1,000-year Reich, they thought. Everybody thinks that they're going to be around forever. The Mongols thought that. Every empire thinks it's going to be around forever. And on a long enough timeline, they are wrong. Okay? Rise and fall, cycles, all of that. Life and death. Same but different. That's what it is. Still, we don't know what to make of it. Still, we just think about accumulating things. That's all we got. Accumulating stuff. Right? At least the Romans had honor. Even though they were huge biters of the Greeks, they still believed in honor. You know, they still believed in something. So I don't know. I guess maybe that's what, as we enter this new decade, I think what I predict, what we're going to see is belief, more belief, whether that's religious, whether that's, I don't know, in science, in the markets, and people are going to be clamoring to find some foothold on reality because there's been so much relativism. There's been so much sort of like, well, what's the nature of reality? What's real? We don't know. We don't know that. People are just going to be like, people are just going to stop caring that we don't know and just make a choice. People are like, I want to just, and then hopefully, what won't happen is a huge war of all the people who believe things in different things. Because you know how that, look at how far it's gotten us now. Motherfuckers are still fighting each other over things they believe. That they are like, we have science. We have jets, but we're still kind of fighting over 1,000-year-old Yahweh, Muhammad, whatever, whoever, Jesus, all of it. Still fighting over that. So in some ways, I guess, just like the Nazis and the commies are still fighting or something 100 years ago, we're still also fighting over things from thousands of years ago. ISIS is still fighting the Crusades, you know? The Afghanistan is in a 2,000-year war. They consider this a war since Alexander. They've been invaded since Alexander. I mean, that's how they're like, they don't distinguish. It's just different white people have come through trying to, okay? The only ones who actually did it were the Chinese. No, the Mongols with the Chinese help, probably. The only ones that ever did it were a bunch of Asians, okay? And they'll be damned if they're going to let... And then the white people have been trying to take Afghanistan since, and they still haven't been able to. You know what? And that's what we're doomed to do. Repeat. Just repeat the same mistake over and over. Make remakes over and over. Reboot over and over. Eventually, out of that, something will spawn. Maybe just like Germany... Just like the particular nation of Germany and the brains and all that stuff, it spawned the confluence of events that created that. Maybe that's happening now. Perhaps that's happening now. Who knows where? But it's happening now, and something new will emerge. You know, maybe we're on the precipice of seeing something new emerge. Otherwise, it's going to be like this for another 1,000 years. 1,000 years of burning gas. Yeah, maybe. 1,000 years of iPhones, you know. Maybe. I mean, I don't know. We don't know. But again, can't just stop there, right? I can't just stop at I don't know. Can't be satisfied with that because then it'll never get anywhere. So I'll say that I am an eternal optimist. I have optimism. I mean, things seem to get better over time, even though there are setbacks. But ultimately, in the end, we do what we can. And we should count ourselves lucky for being alive now at the time we are and not being, I don't know, in a hole somewhere, in a mud hole with no electricity. There's people who live like that, okay? There's people who live in tents, I guess, right down the street. I mean, I guess, but they're better than the people who live in holes, right? And once again, here we are back. It's all relative. And then it goes round and round. And there you go. You can see why people just end it. Or die, or you just tap out and you just say, you know what, I'm just going to stick to, here's some things I believe, I'm just going to stick with it. It makes life easier. Otherwise, I don't think you can really survive. It's kind of like that whole thing with the first Matrix. The first Matrix didn't survive, I mean, in the not the first Matrix movie, but in the lore of the Matrix, the first Matrix was a huge paradise and everybody died because there's no nothing. Everybody was weak from no resistance. So for some reason, we need to resist. We need to become stronger. And I think that's what this is. We are getting stronger. Those of us who are facing the resistance of life, those of us who are doing whatever the work is, doing whatever it is you know you need to do to move toward living. And those of us who are in that place where we know what we need to do but don't do it, of course, then, you know, you are given the opportunity to make a choice, right? And that's a beautiful thing to really think about it. Because those who have chosen in the past, and they're on the path, and that's it. But the ones who get the choice before them, I mean, that's what a glorious moment. Okay? Praise be to Allah. All right. Thank you guys for listening. This might have been a bit philosophical, a bit epistemological. I just had this weird, I had these weird thoughts clinking around, so I guess I wanted to get them out. It might not have been the funniest podcast ever. It may actually be the funniest podcast this year, guys, so that might be... That's something you have to live with. This is going to go down. Next time, I'm talking about children dying. Again. Actually, I already talked about that. I'm still working on how to make that funny. There's something in there. How to make these kids dying funny. Maybe they're bad kids. I don't know. Something. All right. Thank you. Follow me, you know, Twitter, Instagram. Go to RojanKim.com. Go to my YouTube channel, Spotify. Find me online. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.